Top Headlines.
Jake DeBrusk scored two goals last night in the Bruins 7-4 win over the Maple Leafs at the TD Garden in Game 7. Here he is talking about the go-ahead goal in the third that put the team up 5-4.
I think it was 4-4, I believe, and I don't get out there 4-4 too much, so I just want to take it to the net and kind of caught, I think, their defenseman off guard right away with just my speed, and then I tried to make a move and actually tried to raise it, and I didn't even see it go in. I just heard the crowd go pretty nuts, and it was a very special feeling, especially making it 5-4 at that point. I knew that as soon as we got the lead there, the next goal, we were going to be fine, and it was very special.
It was a special moment is what that was, Jake. Bruins now move on to play the Lightning Game 1 Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Celtics are in Milwaukee to play the Bucks tonight. Apparently, Coach Brad Stevens just said that Semi Ojeleye is going to be starting again tonight for the Green, who can move on to their next round of the playoffs with a win tonight. They lead 3-2. Game 6 tonight, 8 o'clock. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Spell Ojeleye.
Oh, I can't. The Red Sox snapped their three-game losing streak with a 4-3 win over the Blue Jays last night. They're going to finish off the three-game set tonight. And Panthers tight end Greg Olsen getting an extension. Said to be $8.55 million per year for 2 years, according to Adam Schefter. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time hour on a Thursday here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Bruins win last night. Draft begins tonight. Bob and Weymouth wants to hit on both of those things. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
What should we do with
Bob,
this?
Are you in a well tank?
What should we do with that?
You don't have to say well tank. A well is just kind of a tank.
No, the well. The right well.
A well. You just say, are you in a well?
Are the wells still in Marshfield?
No, he's trying to say whale is the word that Zoe's trying to say.
I didn't understand.
And a whale tank. Wow, you think everything's okay there? That sounds like a dog.
Dog left in the car?
That's a dog. Bob?
Keep him on hold. I want to get to the bottom of this one, make sure everything's all right.
I mean, if things are not okay.
What's wrong with Bob, boy?
I know.
Tell us
know,
what's wrong with Bob.
Lassie. Lassie, what's wrong?
It's a squirrel. What's that? What's that?
Okay, we'll
Where's
put Bob
kitty?
On hold.
Get the kitty. Get
we'll
the cat.
Put Bob on hold. We'll go to Dylan in Boston. Hey, Dylan.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that one up, but I'll give it a shot.
Well, you're alive, so that's a plus. Yeah,
what if Bob got turned into a dog?
Barely alive today. I went to the Bruins game last night, so I'm moving a little slow. But I wanted to talk about the draft real quick. Tremaine Edmonds is not a second or third round player. He's not even going to get outside the top 10 or 15 at the very least. He's projected to go real high. He's a beast. And I have an unhealthy obsession with this year's draft.
Attaboy, so. Like you.
I'm a Niner fan, and I've moved to Boston about 10 years ago, so I started rooting for the Patriots about 10 years ago. So tonight I think it's going to be pretty exciting for both teams.
Yeah, you got to see how they're going to build around Jimmy out there.
What do you want them to do
from a Niners perspective?
What do you want the Patriots to do?
Get a tackle.
I want them to make at least three out of the four picks. So they have four in the top two rounds. I think they need to make at least three of those picks.
I feel like Jim needs to set a limit there too. Is that okay? Like, at what point are you mad at them for moving too many assets?
I'm okay if they trade up to get a quarterback and use all four picks to trade up and get the guy they want. No, I'm okay with that.
That would be asinine.
No, that's stupid.
I'm not saying that's the smartest thing to do. I'm just saying, listen, I think getting the quarterback of the future is more important than any pick in this draft.
And I think
you're insane.
Differently.
You ever watch his team play defense?
Zoe and I have been pretty
clear. I want to watch him play for the next 15 years.
Jim, if he's there, I agree with you. But yeah, I don't think you sell out your picks. And
Jim, which quarterback would you go after? If you Jim, had your money and you were a Mr. War Room guy, just standing there observing the Patriots War Room, and they said, hey, Jim, we can't decide which quarterback we want, but we're trading all four picks to go get him. Who you getting, Jim?
Darnold.
And Jim, if we could just go back to a year ago, would you have ever advocated for trading Tom Brady to keep Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
See, and that's why I think it's inconsistent.
Why?
Because
you got a league MVP.
You're talking about
I would have been okay with keeping Garoppolo.
You're talking about sacrificing your draft to get the next guy, and that means sacrificing what could be this team over the next two or three years in order to get the guy for the next 15 years. And you're basically saying you're going to cycle down and go into a rebuild through your draft, which I just think is asinine. You made the decision to keep Brady, which I was in favor of.
Yes.
Which
when means you have a quarterback, you don't have to rebuild.
Which means
the guy, you don't have to rebuild.
Okay,
if they get the next guy, they won't have to rebuild.
They have needs. They have needs and will continue to have needs over the next few years that they will need to address through the draft. They have to start drafting
players.
You
don't get a tackle.
And they have to start drafting guys on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep. You don't
get defense.
They
need players there.
You don't get
defense. For the next 5 years. Not for the next 15, for the next five.
Yeah, don't get a tackle tonight, and you'll be putting that quarterback in sooner than you think. Backside tackle. Yeah, two available. One from Notre Dame, one from UCLA.
So you have to draft a tackle in order for Brady to be healthy this year. They can't get by with what's out there or make a trade or something else.
I'm not saying that.
No,
I believe
you're gambling
possible.
On health. You're gambling
I'm talking about the next 3 to 5 years. You need players. You need talent. And just because you have the quarterback who is aging, who is getting older, doesn't mean you can make up for all of those deficiencies, because they couldn't make up for the defensive deficiency against the Eagles. And that problem is not getting better. It's going to get worse.
I just don't want to chase. I don't want to chase for a quarterback. I don't want to be sitting. Listen, yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Bledsoe being drafted, right?
Yes.
We talked about this off the air. It was the last time they needed a quarterback. That's the last time they've needed
a
quarterback.
They don't need a quarterback right now. They have Tom Brady.
I don't want to be in the position to have to need a guy and then be forced to take one in 2-3
years.
Jim's
only had to change twice in his life. Bledsoe and Brady.
That's fine, but I'm not willing to sacrifice an entire draft to go get a quarterback when you still have Tom Brady and viably could have him if everything is okay and the relationships are all repaired. You could have two or three more seasons of that. You could.
So you'd be okay with them not drafting a quarterback at all?
Yes, I'd be okay with that. But I also won't be upset with them if they use a pick on a quarterback. I won't. But if you start giving up your draft to go get the guy, it's stupid.
There's no home run in this draft.
What if there are things you need to address?
What if they're convinced that the guy exists? The guy is there. That is the guy. He's right there. We're not saying who he is, but we know that's the guy that we want to take over the reins of this team in two more years. We're going to go get him.
Bill's too smart. You have too many picks now to make this team that much better. This team's still the favorite in the AFC. You add some good athletic talent to this defense that puts them over the top.
There will be other guys.
Yep.
Really?
There will be other guys.
Yes.
The Bills have been saying that too, right? Yeah.
Well, pick the right one.
The Bills didn't have Bill Belichick making the pick.
Not my fault you chose E.J. Manuel in the first round.
First rounder.
I just don't want to be in that spot where you're like, uh-oh, now we need a guy.
Uh-oh.
I think they're smart enough to get the guy ahead of time.
I mean,
they do it with every position.
They didn't reach for Jimmy Garoppolo.
They did it with the running backs back in the day. They did it with the tight ends back in the day. They've always had those next guys ready to go. Or they have at least tried to get those next guys to get them ready to go. They haven't all worked out.
They had a first-round grade on Garoppolo, and they got him in a second round. They didn't reach at all. Like, wow, look who fell to us.
That'd be great if that happened again this year. I'm just not going to say, listen, it's going to happen. You can't take it for granted that it's going to happen again every year.
This is where they're going to be teased in the second round, is when Lamar Jackson falls and he's sitting there in that second round. Do they pounce then? I think this is why they're doing their homework on Jackson. I think this is the Jackson point of it, why Josh went after, because that's a guy, you know, Burt Breer was on this too with this podcast and that, saying he could go anywhere from 15 all the way down to the high 40s. And that means Patriots are going to see him twice, two more times they could pass on him. Like, boy, should we pass three times? I don't know. Maybe we should take him here. That's why they were doing homework on him.
Would you be okay with the Patriots using a number of their picks to move up and draft a quarterback in this draft tonight? There's been a number of reports saying there's going to be a run on quarterbacks early. There's going to be a high price tag.
Teams are panicking.
On QBs in this draft.
You got five teams saying, we're open for business. Shopping the pick. That's all in front of you. They don't want the guy either.
As of right now, the Patriots have two picks tonight, 23 and 31, in the first round of the NFL draft being held in Texas at Jerry World this year.
Hey, down there.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on that? Would you be okay with that? And also, last night's Bruins game. Let's get back into that next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nylander fakes the shot, gets it back to Gardner at the point, his drive, scores! Miner gets it again, to Marlowe, scores! 2-1! Dermott, his shot was blocked, he gets wide and sends it to the net, it scores! And the Maple Leafs have tied this game at 3! Kapanen tried to outrun his man, he has, he's in alone, goes to the net, he scores! Kasperi Kapanen scores shorthanded, and the Maple Leafs lead 4-3.
You don't remember everything in your life. What you do is you remember moments, and you want to create those moments. You want to create memories. So now we've got to go to Boston, get the clam chowder like I talked about, and then got to dig in and win a game.
Nothing for you.
Kevin Miller with the puck. High slack. Krug fires and scores! Here's DeBrus going wide. Drops his shoulder. Shoots. He scores! 5-4 Bruins! Crashing it out in front is Pastrnak. He scores! Pastrnak's forehand and fires it by Freddie Anderson. It is 6-4. Marchand angles over the red line. Backhand scores! All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in Game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
Now, hope Judd and Beersy have their hotels in Tampa. Hope they got a room down there. Here in the water, hopefully. Bruins get a win last night. A big one, obviously. A Game 7 win. They move on to the second round, and we'll take it on the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know what? We need to go back to something we talked about yesterday before the game, and that is Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, who elected not to put Ryan Donato in the lineup. His team then proceeded to score, we'll say, five legit goals, plus an empty netter. They also got a goal from Danton Heinen in the game, which to me, even if they had lost the game, should have wiped out the conversation about should he have put Ryan Donato in the lineup. He got a goal out of Danton Heinen, who bounced back nicely. Also, Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy was named a finalist for the Jack Adams Award last night.
Good for him.
Just before the start of the game. That is given out every year to the league's best coach. It's coach of the year in the NHL.
See, that Donato discussion was still pretty fresh in my mind even prior to the game, because you're thinking, okay, what could go wrong here? And that's part of the way we think. And then they get the first goal, and you're like, oh, God. They don't have him. They don't have him. They need gold scores. Tell me this isn't going to work out. And then you're like, oh. And then it's 2 and 7 minutes. I'm still thinking Donato there, but then didn't think of him after, you know, you got the lead. Just forgot, totally. Because you're right. He made the right decision.
He made the right call lineup-wise.
He knew what he's doing.
And did leaving Tuukka in for the third period hurt his team?
Well, they played really well in front of him. I mean, they didn't have a ton of shots.
Somebody asked. I didn't ask if Tuukka played well or if he was great. Did it hurt his team?
No.
It did not hurt
his team.
Did not hurt the team. that decision did not turn out to be in any way a bad one. So not a bad night for the head coach. Really. Not a bad night. Didn't know that he really had the answers going into that game. He was hoping for power plays, which did help.
Went with his gut. Went with what he trusted. Went with what brought you to the dance, so to speak. And it worked out. And he's victorious in his first game seven as head coach. He could create his own memory.
His own moments.
Moment.
His own memory. You know, for all the talk about how the front office looks good. For the roster they put together.
And yeah.
You should give some credit to the coach, too.
Yeah, he's got to move the pieces, yes.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good help from those guys, though, too. But I think it's your team, man. You know better than anybody there. They're there at skates. They watch it. They're pretty in tune with it, probably more so than any other teams in the league, being former players and what they've put through it.
Kevin Miller had this quote last night about his head coach. He said, he's been great for us. He's a very smart and intelligent guy. Guys love playing for him. I love playing for him. It's a big honor for him being up for the Jack Adams, and we're pulling for him.
Nice.
It's just nice. It's different.
It's
you know?
Refreshing.
Yeah. They want to play well for their coach.
You know, you'd get the coach speak with Claude. You'd get it with John Farrell. And you just get tired of hearing, like, guys protecting this or that. Or, you know, you knew what the answers were going to be when the questions were asked. I just think that Cassidy's pretty butt honest with everything. Same thing with Cora. That's what we like about Alex Cora, right? Tells you what I'm thinking. And it just seems like he blends well with these players. These players like him and are going to play well for him. The Red Sox are off to a great start. And all these teams are young. Celtics are young. But they love their coach. Seems like the Bruins love their coach. That's good. Because this is going to be going on for a while. You're only going to keep this core together and keep the vets that you need.
Nice to be a finalist, but there's no shot he wins. He's not going to get it. It's going to go on.
Vegas.
I mean, that's the story. There's no way he's going to win. It's nice to be a finalist. It's a nice honor.
Has Kosher talked about like the distraction of what Vegas is and how much may have helped that team? Like, you get these teams out there.
Yeah, I think that was the thought.
Let's do our dinners.
I think that was the thought early on.
Let's do some gambling. Next thing you know, the game's not important. The game's, like, second most important thing in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't think that was really
like,
the reason.
At some point, yeah. But, I mean, that might...
Yeah, until they blew through the Kings in the playoffs.
There you go.
Quickly disposed of them. No. And you know what? It should have been obvious before that. That was a nice little neat storyline early in the year. Like, oh, look at Vegas. They keep winning games. Maybe there's something to the fact that they're great on home ice because these other teams are coming into Vegas.
Hungover.
And they're, you know, going out in Vegas.
Yeah.
After a while, it became evident that they were a really good hockey team.
Yeah. But it's also home ice advantage, too, man. It's nice to have that. There's that distraction. It's like when you go down and play the Dolphins down in Miami, man. It's like, wow, it's really nice down here. Just smells like cocoa butter and there's palm trees. And whew, look at that crew. Look at that car. That's a nice car. Look at the wheels on that car. You know?
Go down there and look at the wheels.
They are the best expansion team of any expansion team in the history of sports. They are.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Carolina Panthers are pretty good expansion teams. Yeah, you're right.
No, this is year one, and they could be playing in the finals. Yeah. I mean, they could. I don't know that it's going to happen, but they are going to go down as the best expansion team in any sport ever. And so that has led some people to say, oh, then there's a problem, right? You shouldn't be able to come into the league and in year one be as good as you are. And so, well, obviously, you got to make it harder to be an expansion team. Most expansion teams do suck. Most of them are terrible. This is an outlier, and I would go the other way. If you're expanding your league and putting it in a new market, wouldn't you want to grab as many people in that market to buy in as early as possible for the health of that team in a new market? Yeah. I would say it's great. You should have all your expansion teams be decent.
From an ownership standpoint, and you build an organization, that's the first and foremost. You're backing your fan base, man. And to have that ability to lure people in and secure that and build off that, like you said, I mean, the numbers are historic what they're doing in year one. You know, from 10 years from now, this keeps going. The team's going to be a viable contender yearly. Guys are going to want to go play there. I mean, like, I can't wait to see when the Raiders get there, what teams are going to be able to attract certain guys in free agency. Raiders are going to be able to attract guys to Vegas for free agency.
You think as a result of what the Knights are doing?
No, No. I'm just saying.
No, just in fact,
I'm saying
that it's Vegas.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
use
matter what you
put there.
Sure.
I'm saying, my point is use everything and all everything is at your disposal to your advantage. And I think they figured this out quite quickly. Good for that crew and Tosi.
Well, they figured it. Yes. And all of that speaks to how they ramped it up, how they got the community involved. And I was just getting ready to say that people there are nuts for this team, and they have been from the beginning. And it's helped that they've played well all year. But I just got a text from a buddy of mine who grew up in Newton, but
friend?
Has been in Vegas for 20 years.
Yeah.
Easily. Maybe more.
Sure.
And I went to a game with him out there last fall. But, yeah, they have embraced this team. People who are transplants, and there's a ton of them in Vegas, from other hockey markets. And, yeah, they can kind of have that dual thing for a while. But this is becoming their team.
That's hard.
This is becoming that town's team.
It's hard to do.
He says they call it the Vegas flu for the visiting teams when they come in there and seem to, you know, be dragging a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that's more myth now than anything else.
Maybe a tiny part of the explanation. Most of it, though, that team is just good. It's a good hockey team.
Yes.
You can't have that many teams going in there and not playing well and always chalk it up to, oh, they just got too excited for being in Vegas and they're out too late the night before. We're thinking too much about going out after the game. No, after that happens a few times and the coach gives you the speech beforehand, you realize, and especially once you're in the arena, it's a hockey arena. Ice is ice, nets are nets. You're playing a hockey game. It can't affect you that much. The town that you're in.
You know, and there's got to be
hockey
teams.
Is hockey bone.
There's got to be teams. There's got to be cities that are pissed off because maybe your GM left players unprotected. They end up going to Vegas, and next thing you know, they're able to put a team together.
Good matchups in the second round as well in the NHL playoffs. It's still alive. The possibility is still alive of the Stanley Cup final being in Vegas.
Bonesy,
still a possibility. Quickly, John and Norwood, go ahead.
Just quick thought.
Yeah,
and Rask on his last, in his last series, it was just shaky. For this upcoming series against Tampa, if he has another shaky start like he does, two games ago, what do you think about your thoughts on pulling him right away, even if this is game one and he? Let's him say 4 or 5 goals like last time.
Yeah, I think he'll get pulled the same way he did in this series. But if you're talking and building on that for game two, I would start Hudobin. If that happens in game one, I'd go to the other guy for game two.
Mm. It doesn't have to be 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah.
People were talking about it after that second one last night. That wasn't a good look.
I tighten up.
But do you start Hudobin regardless? Like right now, you're thinking about who you're going to put in that on Saturday. You going with Rask or you going with Hudobin?
I'm going to go Rask. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going
He's your
Rask.
Starting goalie.
Who are you going, Zoe?
I'm going Rask for game one.
Rask.
Okay. But I understand the discussion. And if a shaky gets pulled and if it's not a good outing, you go with Hudobin in game two.
Hardy has headlines, and we will continue with your calls on Rob Gronkowski, the draft, and the Bruins win last night. 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins used home ice to their full advantage last night. Got the 7-4 win over the visiting Maple Leafs at the TD Garden in Game 7. Torrey Krug with the 4-on-4 goal just 3 seconds into the 4-on-4 time.
Unbelievable. That's what we play all season for. It's tough to think about when you look big picture, but we get the home ice advantage in a game 7. That's a huge importance, so it was important to have that.
Bruins now move on to play the Lightning. Game 1 Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Celtics in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks tonight. They can advance with a win in game 6. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call. Starting with the pregame 7:30 here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Red Sox got the win over the Blue Jays in Toronto last night, 4-3, snapping their 3-game losing streak. They'll finish off the 3-game set tonight. Headlines are brought to you by Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of Brian Scalabrini, 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I'm not kidding, Tony. If I were Bruce Cassidy, I would consider game one against Tampa going with Hudobin. Just if this were a regular season scenario and Tuca had put together some of these performances over a two-week stretch, I think the coach would look at it and say, you need a rest. You know, you need a rest. You need to clear your head. You need to watch a game. And I'm not saying bench Rask for the playoffs. I'm just saying maybe he needs a blow because there are times when he gets overworked mentally, I think. And I don't know. I just thought he was that weak tonight that it's something I would consider.
.1238 here on Zolak and Bertrand.
He's right.
Back to your calls. 617-779-0985. Kevin's in the car. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I agree with you on the draft, Beetle. You know, we had the guy and we traded him away. So why are we going to go and draft the quarterback? Let's fill our holes. Let's build around the quarterback that we chose, which is Brady. And let's go for it. Yeah, maybe 2 years away. We're 2 years away on drafting a quarterback, but we're not now. You know, Brady said, yeah, I want to play into my 40s, so let's go with him like we chose. Garoppolo's gone. Our quarterback is gone. We got the guy. Let's go fill our holes on defense. Let's put some wide receivers in, maybe a left tackle on the line. That's just how I feel.
And you know what, Kevin? Maybe in a year, the team's in a better position to make one of those moves.
Yep.
Because they've drafted in this draft well, and they've sort of restocked through the draft, which they do need to do. And you'll feel better about their ability to move up or make a deal. I'm just saying that if you're going to all of a sudden spend all your draft capital over the next couple of days on a quarterback, you've screwed up. You haven't done it right.
Right.
You have not done that right.
It's a panic move, it is to me.
If you're
going to finally sit there and have all this at the top, and you've got five picks in the first 93, and you have the ability to control the last half of that first round, as you are, you're perennially in this game every year, the big one. You're playing for a championship every year. Teams that do that don't have this kind of draft capital. And now you have a chance to really put yourself over the top and really bolster big holes and look at those holes and address them, specifically on defense and at tackle, and even maybe at corner. Linebacker, offensive tackle, corner in this draft.
Yeah, I like
that's what I look at. And if a quarterback's there and falls to you in a second round, then I'm interested and I may take that guy. It's going to be if they do take a quarterback, and not in the first round because I don't think they're going to do it, but I'm talking the next 2 days, to see how this all unfolds. Because Bill pretty much gets into detail as to how the pick came to be. You remember when they picked Solder? He talked about Dante Scarnecchia, sort of fell in love with him, went out, had the private workout, went back and had another one. And then you bring him in for draft visit, and that's how you kind of you end up falling in love with the player. When it's all said and done, whatever guy they get, what was Josh's role in this? Because we haven't seen a lot of him in the offseason, but there was a report he worked out Jackson.
He worked out Lamar Jackson.
So he is moving around, looking at guys. We just don't
again,
hear about
if
it.
If you draft a quarterback,
I can't wait to hear where he's been.
Have at it. You've got 23. You've got 31. If there's a quarterback there and you like him, go for it.
Yeah.
If you're all of a sudden using all your picks and moving way up that board to get a quarterback, I'm not on board with that. Draft one all you want. Just don't start spending all your picks on it. Jim in Framingham today on Lamar Jackson. Jim.
Hey, I got a question mainly for Zolak. What do you think of Lamar Jackson as a passer, and what does he have to do, or what does the team have to do to utilize him in the NFL, if you even think it's possible?
It's a good question, because everything changes at the next level. As a passer, you look at his 3 years, you know, he's in the mid-50s to high-50s as a percentage. That's not very good. You want to be in the high-60s. You want to be pumping 70, because at the next level, everything's predicated on moving the football, moving the sticks, throwing the ball into tight holes. See, I think what can hurt him early in his career is he didn't throw against a ton of man. And what guys are trying to do is they're trying to get eight guys around the line of scrimmage and force him to throw the football. Because he also picked up 1,600, 1,700, 1,500 on the ground, and that was the big year he popped, touchdown-wise, and that's when he won the Heisman Trophy. There's some dynamic that is interesting there. When you play against guys like Deshaun Watson, I think, is more of a passer than a runner, but he can run. Guys like Mariota. You know, Cam Newton's different because of the size of him. He's 270. I've never seen that before. You'll never see another Cam Newton like that. You really won't. So
never say never.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about a guy that size. We haven't since he came out.
Yeah, he only came out, what, 5-6 years ago?
Well, there was
how long's it been?
More than that, right? 7 years? What was he
at
Auburn?
2011, right?
Yeah, 7 years.
Jackson says he plays at 205.
Next closest guy is Josh Allen, and I don't think Josh Allen could from an athletic standpoint. I know people say he's athletic. He ain't Cam Newton.
Mark in Manhattan had a Lamar Jackson point, too. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to get your take on Lamar Jackson and something that might be being overlooked. So I understand that Jackson is an impressively tooled QB. He's a great athlete, and I see how he'd be an attractive first rounder if still available. But this kid's mental aptitude and how he'd fit with Belichick and McDaniel's smart, highly advanced offensive scheme scares the hell out of me as the prospective successor to Brady. I mean, Jackson scored a 13 on the Wonderlic exam. You go and revert back to this kid's high.
Belichick says he doesn't use that when he evaluates players, the Wonderlic.
Okay, well then here's another example. You revert back to his Heisman speech in 2016. It's comical. I mean, he spoke so incoherently, he makes Gronk look like a savant. I mean, this kid...
Is that true?
The speech... Yes. Yeah. Go back and take a look. Yes.
I think he's somewhat shy in front of the camera.
Okay. Well, it came across that this thing was written on crayon.
Okay.
And it's a red flag.
Well, you're really trying to mentally put the kid down.
You're being very harsh, Mark.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Have you heard it?
Hey, I did.
It's bad.
I don't... you know what I do? I watch the tape. I see, can the kid play? Kick and play. This kid can make people miss in space. He is as dynamic a runner as I've seen, whether running back, receiver, whatever. If you're grabbing him, I'm telling you, for 2 years developing him and reaching to get him in the first round, he's going to fall to you at some point. You're going to snag him. And they're going to find a way to get him and Brady on the field at the same time. I'm telling you.
You know that he's got no agent, which
his mama,
Bill, would love. Yeah. No agent? Oh, yeah. No.
Unless his agent's name is Neil Cornrich, same as Bill's.
Sign that contract for you.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Paulie in the truck on the draft. Paulie.
He'd also make a great slot guy, I guess I'd say.
Yeah.
Get him in some open space and throw him the ball, you know. But I'm not a big fan. I like Wauletta. But let me start by that's the guy I think they should get in the later rounds. They need their holes to fill. They got the people. Vegas is having so much success because it's a major distraction for the players that go out there. And when Vegas comes to visit their barn, they're thinking of what they did when they were in Vegas. So
they're probably coming to rest and play well at your place. You know what I mean?
So then my next thing is the Sox, but for the first weekend series against Tampa Bay, I decided these guys are a bunch of happy bastards. They just love each other. The chemistry is great. I spotted that right away in the first series against Tampa Bay. Now, I like Mayfield in terms of all the top-tier quarterbacks. I think Donald's a jag. I think people are way overrating him. I think Rosen's the best talent, but I don't think he's going to be able to stand up to the NFL beating physically and maybe not mentally, but I don't think he's tough enough to take the beat. Mayfield is the kind of guy, he reminds me, he's a lot like Donald, but he came in as a walk-on, plays a chip on his shoulder, he plays with fire.
So, Paulie, Kyle Lauletta's your guy tonight. Paulie says Kyle Lauletta's his guy. That's what he's going with.
Wauletta, yeah. I disagree with everything Paulie said.
100%.
No, not with the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox like playing with each other. I think it's a different
Vegas
group this
flu.
Year. They're loose.
Vegas, barn.
I mean, he hit all four sports here.
He did
anything on the Celtics?
I didn't hear a Celtics take, but...
I think my quarterback picks and how I have them ranked are completely opposite the way Paulie ranks his.
We'll talk to Sean Grandy about the Celtics coming up at 120. We'll talk more with you next.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. This is crazy right now for me, man. Oh, snap. I'm shaking right now. I got to get my speech up. I'm sorry. Yeah. First and foremost, though, before I go further along with my speech, to the Heisman voters. Growing up in Florida, there were so many influential people. This for me. Oh my God.
it isn't that bad. He got emotional. It's
emotional. He's shaking. He told you, I am shaking. He's not comfortable doing that. He's comfortable playing football. I'm not going to judge a kid on his Heisman speech. Sit there and see Tim Tebow. I can't wait to be a Jet. I want to go to be to New York to see the big buildings and the big tractors. Now, he play? Tim Tebow could play in college. This kid could play. He could play in different ways. This kid can run, man. He can run. And he can throw. He's not Mike Vick. See, Mike Vick, remember when Mike Vick came out of Virginia Tech? People look at completion percentages and this and that. Mike Vick can throw the ball through a wall. I've never seen somebody spin a ball like him since Jeff George. Jeff George was the next one prior to that. And then, you know, you got to go all the way back to Bledsoe Marino, Montana. Not Montana, even. It was Marino Elway. And you can just remember hearing the ball hum. It whistles when it goes by. Vick had that. The rotation on Mike Vick's football is the best I've ever seen. We can sit here and nitpick his speech. No. Bring him here not to talk. Bring him
as
here
Tom just football. Pointed out, you know who had a good Heisman speech? RG3.
Kajana Carter. Yeah, RG3.
Oh, Kajana Carter. There's a bad one.
He was the last Penn State back to go tie in the draft.
Oh, God. I heard those comparisons, please. This Barkley kid can run.
So he had what? He had a 13 on the Wonderlic? Is
yes,
that what it was?
13 on the Wonderlic.
Jim Kelly had a 15.
Yep.
How'd he turn out?
He talks like he talks like he has marbles in his mouth. And I'm so glad he has beat what he has beaten.
Dan Marino was a 16.
Yeah, he's no Mensa.
Could he play quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he could. How about Terry Bradshaw?
He couldn't spell cat if you spotted him to CNEA, according to Henderson.
He's a 16. He could play.
Yep. So wait, group those guys together, though. Could they fit into Belichick's offense, though? Like, Marino and Kelly were just gunslingers,
I mean,
weren't
they? We got to go back to Mike Lombardi knows what they look for and try to fit in because he spent time with Bill, you know, acquiring, and he was there during the Garoppolo draft.
Donovan McNabb had a 15.
And he said none of them could play or pick it up. None of them.
I mean,
including Jackson.
Donovan McNabb, not my cup of tea, but he was a good quarterback. He could play.
God, he was an option guy. And all they did was fake that thing down the line of scrimmage and drop back in Syracuse. It was fake run, drop back, throw. Throw to deep post. Throw to deep post. Who's the receiver in Syracuse, Jim? Hell am I thinking of?
You think Derek Carr can play? Derek Carr had a 20. Not much better.
It wasn't Marvin Harrison. He was gone from there, right?
No, it was Harrison. It was Marvin Harrison. And there was a tall, skinny kid, too.
He's Tebow. In the news this week, too.
Tebow.
Other stuff.
Tebow was a 22. So, I don't think it matters. The Patriots have already had, what was it? Lombardi already said Belichick will not take it into account. Doesn't care about the Wonderlic scores.
What he cares about is film, and what he cares about is going to the workouts and getting 5 feet from the player and asking him to do something, because can the guy react and do what I'm telling him to do? And that's when he knows.
Simple as that.
Watch it. Watch the kid play.
Joe is in the car. Hi, Joe.
Ooh. Hey, how's it going?
Hey!
All right, so I wanted to talk real quick about Gronk did start the whole rumors.
About what?
What rumors?
The retirement rumors.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
If you go back and watch that interview after the Super Bowl, when they ask him about is he going to retire, he doesn't say, how did you hear that? He says, I don't know how you heard that, because he never said it. That's what that means. When you say that like that, it means he never said it, so how did you hear that?
Yeah, but I mean, it was thrown to him, and he didn't laugh it off, you know? You know, like when Brady was always asked, well, you're going to retire soon, right? And he would always laugh off the age thing, like, Why you all want me to retire? I'm having fun. Remember Brady's Super Bowl week? I'm having fun. Everybody wants me to retire. Who wants to retire? Every time I have him, you know, mid-season, during the bye, I always throw the age. Don't do the age thing again. I'm not old.
No, his quote was, I'm definitely going to look at my future. That was the quote after the Super Bowl.
You could have put better words attached to it. To me, that's like my body doesn't feel great. At the end of the year, I am beat. I'm worn down. It's a devastation with the loss, all that. It's all coming into play. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take my time to look at this. It's heat of the moment, you know? He didn't refute
any of it. Definitely going
to look
at my future.
Months.
We'll that's... sit down in the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Right.
Dead air.
That was.
I'm looking at the screen, seeing who's been waiting the longest. This time it's Robin Lynn on the
phone. Hey, Bobby.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Great stuff on football there.
A lot of football. A lot of football today. You know, draft day. It's like Christmas.
Great stuff. Excellent information. But I want to go back to the Bruins for a second. And a couple of comments. First thing is the refs on these face-offs. You know, they come in with the puck, and you get two center icemen, and they are jacked. They just want that puck to drop. And these refs are coming in, and they're holding the puck until Bergeron. Somebody makes a move, and they're throwing them out. I think it's affecting the pace of the game. That's number one.
I think you're right on that.
Absolutely right.
When they tossed Bergeron off the dot one of those times last night, I'm like, you know what? Drop the damn puck, and it won't be an issue.
They weren't even looking at the two guys squaring off in the middle. The one guy turned, opened his hips, and he's looking down ice. And Bergeron ready to go, and he's not even moving.
Yep.
That happened a lot.
They used to come in, that ref. I mean, he would no sooner come to a stop with his feet, the referee would bang.
Yes.
He dropped that puck.
Yep, good point.
So that's one thing. And the second thing is the Bruins, the NHL in general right now, the talent level, the skill level, the speed of the game is off the charts. It's better than it's ever been. The sport is just, they're flying out there. But, you know, there's something to be said for the old style of hockey, and I don't want to go back to the old style, but, you know, all these teams have the skill players, including the Bruins, and, you know, to come up to the neutral zone, carry the puck in, pass your way in, and obviously hold possession. But when you go through spells in a game, and you've got a team like Toronto that can stretch the ice, and they're clogging up the middle, and they're shutting down your penetration, there's nothing wrong with dumping it in and banging them defensemen. Because these guys, you know, they're picking up the puck, they're circling the net, they're not getting hit, they're looking up ice, and they're rifling these 60, 70-foot passes. You know, I'm not saying it turns into a dump-and-run game, but at intervals in the game, when you're having trouble penetrating, pound them defensemen. You know what I mean? Dump it in, give them a lick. The guy's going to be looking over their shoulders, making bad passes, quick decisions. You know, it's another facet of the game that I haven't seen from them, and I'd like to see some of that.
Okay, appreciate the call. Bruins win their series last night. They're moving on to start their series with Tampa Bay. What time is puck drop coming up on Saturday?
3
p.m. Late afternoon game on Saturday.
3 o'clock Bruins, 8 o'clock Celtics.
Sneaky, tricky.
Whether it's game 1 or game 7, it's 8 o'clock Celtics.
That is confirmed, right?
Yes.
Okay. 70.
Garden will have a game at 8 o'clock with the Celtics. John Wallach will be on the call.
Hey, Mo. Hey, Wallach.
Wallach on the call.
Finish it. They close it out tonight, Jim. You're saying they're going to lose tonight.
Game 1 would
be
Saturday.
No, game 1 is Saturday.
Close it out.
There's
game 1
game
Saturday.
Either way.
Oh, wow. That's right.
It's either a game 1 or a game 7.
What the hell's Grandy have? Knitting class?
UFC or something? Fighting?
We'll ask him in 20 minutes.
At Bellator?
We'll talk to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, coming up at 11:20. Right now, no commercials, just headlines.